getting ready for the dreaded NPTE? How about winning a fully loaded NPTE home study bundle from ptfinalexam.com? Here's how to win. Follow us on Twitter at ptpinecast or enter online at ptpinecast.com. This is the PT Pinecast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pinecast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
So here we go. Welcome to the next episode of the PT Pinecast. Some of the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Eric Trentrock graduated from Arcadia in 2010 with his DPT. Since then, he's worked exclusively in inpatient rehab, first at NRH in Washington, D.C., and now at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh's rehab unit. Board-certified NCS and expertise in adult stroke and brain injury, as well as pediatric neurorehab. Having a prior career in technology, merged the two, seeking out research to apply new technology to old clinical problems. Advocacy for increased adoption of motion capture tech, virtual environments, and gameplay to enhance patient engagement and functional outcomes. This is making my video game and PT brain want to explode. Eric led the development of therapy video gaming programs both at NRH and Children's Hospital. Eric Trentrock, welcome to the PT Pinecast.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
All right, first question is always the toughest, man. What are we drinking tonight?
We are drinking Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest.
Ooh, smart. Very October-y. Now that it's, ooh, National Physical Therapy Month in October as well. I am going Bell's Oberon Ale. My goal is still to have a different beer with each and every episode. So we met real briefly. I was helping to set up an Xbox in one of our classrooms. You come in to Marymount University once a year, and you're going to come in a couple of weeks, and you give a lecture on this topic. And once I heard that there was a guy doing a topic about this, I was pumped. You were coming into Julie Reese's class in a couple of weeks, and I said, I got to get this guy. How'd you get involved in tech, video games? I mean, my dude brain is about to explode with the PT in the video game. Where'd you get started?
PT is a second career for me, and so I started out in recording engineering, and so I did that for a number of years. Also, I've background in database design and that sort of thing. So I'm always thinking about technology and how to apply it to the physical therapy process.
You're kind of like me. I mean, second career for me, first was radio, and I never actually thought I'd be able to marry the two. And I'm glad I did, and I'm sure glad you did, because it just sounds really, really cool. So let's jump into it first. The tech behind, we'll go Microsoft. I'm typically a PlayStation guy, but we'll go Microsoft for you. But it is cool to play with. Microsoft Kinect motion capture camera and why it's emerging as a clinical tool in PT.
Yeah, it's really an exciting device. You know, it's what it is it's a real-time motion sensing camera that Microsoft originally developed for the Xbox 360. And it's gone through a number of iterations. We're actually now in the second version. Second version is able to really track the position and orientation of up to 25 individual joints. And it does estimation of range of motion, speed of movement, and force generation, as well as it can sense your heart rate remotely. As your heart pumps and you have perfusion through your face, you have these minute changes in skin color, and the camera can pick up those changes and give you a rough estimate of your heart rate. So you can get a little sense of aerobic intensity as well.
My mom told me I would never learn anything from video games and I should go outside and play, and it looks like she was wrong.
That's right.
So how do you use it? How is it applied?
You literally just stand in front of the camera. And that's one of the nice things about it from a clinical standpoint, is there's really not a learning curve for patients at all. As they move, the character on the screen moves. So there's no controller to learn. You don't have that learning curve associated with some of the other gaming technologies that are out there. Even the Wii, for example. But it's really so much more powerful than the Wii, because you do have this ability to monitor these individual joints and movement in real time. And all of the data that is captured from that, you can really get a sense of progression.
So when you're playing the games with the Microsoft Kinect, I mean, I fudged around with it. It was really, really easy to use. buttons. I liked how it was hands-free. I mean, I came from the generation of the U-Force and the Power Glove. It kind of worked. Saying that the learning curve is pretty easy for patients, what kind of games are you playing, or how is it actually used?
So that's a good question. You know, right now, really the only games that are available for therapists are the games that have been commercially made for the Xbox. And so you have games like Kinect Adventures, Kinect Sports, which we're sort of adapting in the clinic to match certain clinical goals. But it's sort of not a perfect marriage because there was really no thought about, you know, how you could change certain game elements that might be more appropriate for those people with disabilities. So that's kind of where Microsoft really did something innovative, basically allowing any company in the world to freely develop software for the Kinect camera, and then sell that software and make all the money off of it. So they don't really owe Microsoft any license.
So it's like open source, pretty much.
It's like an open source, exactly. And so because of that, there's been just sort of this explosion of development around specifically rehab games. And right now I'm tracking like over 10 companies that specifically are developing for this camera. And to give you a sense of just how serious it is, Intel is one of those companies. General Electric is one of those companies. Yeah. So there's a lot of interest in sort of looking at rehab and seeing if there's ways that we can apply this technology.
Well, you got two multi-billion dollar industries. You got video games and you got healthcare. And whenever people hear lots of dollar signs, they're going to get interested, especially when you see the research that's going into it and the results from the research.
So that's
kind of what I wanted to go next. You're saying leading PT researchers looking at the rehab potential of the Kinect. What is it? What's been seen or what's coming up?
Right now, because the Kinect is so new, there's not currently a lot of research on it. But a couple of therapists and researchers out there right now, Dr. Judy Deutsch, who's a therapist who's done a lot of research in therapeutic gaming in general, recently co-authored an article in PTJ, Connecting with Clinicians. And basically what this did, the whole point of this article was to help sort of drop the barrier to clinical adoption of these commercially available games. Because, you know, a lot of therapists are like, well, Kinect Adventures, what is that? You know, Kinect Sports, what is it? How do I use that with my patient to achieve a specific clinical goal? What Judy and her colleagues did is they looked at these games and then kind of analyzed them from a motor learning perspective. So they were looking at task difficulty. They were looking at, you know, what are the spatial requirements? What are the requirements of your base of support? Is your base mobile? Is it static? And so they created all these like criteria, gave clinicians a framework for analyzing these games, which would then allow people to really help narrow down and pick the right game for the right patient. And so that's kind of where we're at right now as far as research for the Kinect. There's really, we're sort of in the really early days because, again, all these companies that are currently developing rehab-specific games, most of them are still sort of in the beta phase.
Which is a cool spot to be in, right? Right when something's about to explode, because I don't think video games are going anywhere and neuro patients aren't going anywhere. They're going to be invested in this in terms of big companies. You dropped a couple of big names there. What does a typical treatment session look like? I mean, you're working in the pediatric neuro rehab unit. What's that look like? I mean, I bet you kids just pick this up way faster than adults.
Yeah, and they really do. I mean, it's sort of a natural thing for them to do. They want to play games. You know, they want to have fun during their therapy. So I mean, recently, for example, we had a patient who we were really working on plyometrics. We were doing a lot of jumping, sort of a typical way. You know, we would try to motivate them for jumping over an obstacle, doing something, you know, sort of a rote task. They really didn't have any interest in it. You know, you could see there was no motivation. You could see that the effort wasn't there. The number of repetitions we were getting was low. But you take this same patient and you put them in front of a game like River Rush, which is part of Kinect Adventures, and you're now controlling a raft going down a river, and you're doing lunging. You're jumping to collect coins, and all of a sudden there's this whole motivation of increasing your score. And so you start to get those features that are so critical for motor learning are sometimes more difficult to get outside of a game situation. So you put a patient in this virtual environment, they play a game, and all of a sudden, you know, you're seeing increase in intensity of activity, you're seeing increased motivation, you're seeing increased repetitions. And so I think the big question now is, as these rehab specific games are being developed, what are the outcomes? You know, is what we're seeing anecdotally in the clinic going to be sort of borne out in improved functional outcomes for our patients? And so I think that's the really big question in everyone's mind right now.
Yeah, I'm taking a neuro rehab right now with Dr. Julie Reese, and I've got the O'Sullivan and Schmitz, which is like the Bible for neuro rehab. And we're just talking about, you know, intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. And yeah, if you give someone a task that isn't challenging and is boring, they'll do it, I guess. And then you put a chance at a high score or collecting X amount of coins or getting your raft down that river a little bit faster, and you watch people kind of light up. I can definitely see where the research is going to be going. You talked about some top companies developing. You got Intel, you got GE. Those are some big names and some big guns.
Yeah, and you have some smaller companies too that are doing some pretty exciting things. Blue Marble Game Company is a company that's been developing rehab software for quite some time. It's headed by a physical therapist, Dr. Cheryl Flynn. They have a long history of working with the Department of Defense, but recently they have really made a push into using the Kinect. And then what they've done is something pretty interesting, is they took the Atego exercise program, which has been shown to pretty significantly reduce falls in frail older adults, and they turned that into a game using the Kinect. And so right now they are in the middle of doing a study to really assess whether or not using the Kinect instead of having a therapist or someone else present there, are you going to get the same outcomes? Are you still going to get that fall reduction through using the Kinect sensor instead of having a sort of a one-on-one session? And you can kind of see this, if it is effective, you can see these things being, you know, put into nursing homes, and the potential for really reducing falls and reducing injury and death that's associated with this, especially in our older population, is huge. So if they're successful with this, it really could make big impact.
Yeah, I'm actually amazed that I actually have some clinical experience as a DPT student, third year. I did an integrated clinical experience at a skilled nursing facility here in the DC area. And I'm not sure what the name of the system was. It wasn't Xbox. It wasn't Wii. But the game involved hitting gophers with a hammer or something like that, getting around. And a lot of lateral movements, a lot of forward and back. And it was geriatric population. Man, these people were motivated. And the camera was good, but it wasn't great. And the camera kind of gypped her out of some points, one of the patients working with, and she was pissed. And that's great to see. She was pissed because she got gypped out of some points. Because she's totally into her treatment session. You're absolutely dead on. I 100% agree with you that this is a great area for some growth.
And that's the cool thing too, is, you know, it's not just the kids who are kind of into it. You know, it's really any age, you know, I think can really get a lot out of sort of using sort of gaming concepts and using virtual environments and gameplay to really augment their therapy process. And again, hopefully improve outcomes. Another company that's out there right now that's very innovative is Reflection Health. They're looking at things a little bit differently. They're really looking at it more on the orthopedic side. What they've done is they've developed sort of a comprehensive telerehabilitation platform, and they're currently in clinical trials with Brooks Rehab in Florida. And what they do is they will subgroup patients after a hip or knee replacement. They'll send them to a PT, and evaluation will be done. If they are screened into this group, they will then only have home-based PT. And what happens is they'll go home, Reflection sends them a suitcase-sized box.
No way.
That has a computer, a screen, the Kinect camera, and a cellular internet connection. When they open this thing, it turns on automatically. It will load up the custom exercise program that their PT develops for them, and then they can perform the exercises. Now, the kind of interesting thing as a side note is, from an adherence perspective, one of the features of the Kinect camera is facial recognition. So it's kind
cheat.
Of impossible to fake. So
yeah.
You will know when and how long and how intense your patients did their exercises. And not only that, but the PT can remotely watch a video of the exercises that they did, as well as get lots of data that's generated from the camera about range of motion, about estimates of force generation, things like that. And they can adjust that home exercise program remotely.
Wow.
Reflection right now, I think, is probably the company that's farthest along in developing this sort of ortho-focused tele-rehab solution.
Wow. So you know if your patient is cheating or not, because they can't, because of facial recognition. You know if they're doing it or not, and you can peek in and see exactly how they're doing in terms of force production or estimated force production, and see if they're doing right, and I'm going to adjust accordingly in terms of their home exercise plan.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's a big deal right there. What was the name of that company one more time?
That's Reflection Health.
Wow, that's cool. All right, we're going to take a 60-second break. When we come back, I want to see some other ways that therapists currently using motion technology in the clinic. And how do you see the tech being applied in the future? We'll be back in 60 seconds with Eric Trentrock on the PT Pinecast. Don't move.
The NPTE. The big scary monster that waits for you at the end of PT school. To pass, just answer a question every 72 seconds for 5 hours on topics you've been covering over the last 3 years of PT school. Ugh, no pressure, right? Well, the PT Pinecast has your back. We've teamed up with PTFinalExam.com to get you through the test with ease. We're giving you a chance to win a PT Final Exam Home Study Bundle, loaded with a study guidebook with over 200 pages of critical info, over 200 sample NPTE questions, over 25 hours of video lectures that cover the topics and practice questions, a recorded version of the popular Mastermind study groups, and a case full of beer. Oh, wait, there's no beer? Okay, never mind. This is how you pass the NPTE without losing any sleep. Here's how to win. Follow us on Twitter at PT Pinecast. Sign up to win online at ptpinecast.com and find us at the National Student Conclave in Omaha. We're giving away 3 PT Final Exam Home Study Bundles. Get yours now from PT Final Exam and the PT Pinecast. This is the PT Pinecast.
And we're back on the PT Pintcast with Eric Trentrock, all about video games and neuro rehab. Currently at Pittsburgh's rehab unit, the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh, and we're talking video gaming. I'm geeking out. The inner video gamer in my mind is freaking out. Plus, the PT guy in my brain is wanting to know more. We're talking ways that PTs are actually using this motion technology in the clinic. So Microsoft, their Kinect motion capture. We talked a little bit about how it's being used in the clinic. What are some other examples, Eric?
If you look at specific diagnoses, you know, if you look at stroke, for example, one of the things that we often work on is weight shifting or loading the hemiplegic limb. And so there's games like in Kinect Sports, for example, for kicking a soccer ball. And so you're trying to score a goal on a goalie, hit targets, that sort of thing. And you can get that weight shift with the kicking and load that hemiplegic leg as you're stabilizing it as the patient's playing the game. I've seen it used that way. In chronic pain, I've seen games used to increase standing duration or activity tolerance. So in those kids who really don't want to move, don't want to do anything, sometimes these distractions and playing these games can really help sort of bridge that gap back to a more active lifestyle.
Because of what? Giving them a reason to want to stand a little bit longer? Some outside motivation? Or
yeah, exactly. I think that's what it is. You sort of have this intrinsic desire to beat your last score.
Yeah.
Or even, you know what they love to, a lot of kids love to do is challenge your therapist to a game. Or if it's like a dancing game. So there's a lot of games that have modern music and dance moves that go along with them. And so, you know, you're dancing with your patient and you're challenging each other and you're trying to beat each other's score. And so that can really be a powerful motivator, especially in these chronic pain patients and even in your patients with conversion disorder. And I think, you know, one interesting possible future intervention, I've seen this used a little bit, is for upper extremity constraint interventions. There's a game called Fruit Ninja.
Fruit Ninja.
You're chopping fruit, you're chopping bananas, splitting them in half. So if you're sort of in the early stages of gross movement in a hemiplegic upper extremity, you can sometimes get, again, that increased effort, that increased intensity, those increased repetitions within a constraint context, which I think there's definitely value using those systems to help improve function in the upper extremity as well.
I think it provides good feedback too, because when you're playing Fruit Ninja, you are represented by kind of like that shadow on the screen. So it's showing you where you are, and you want to see people get motivated, you throw a bunch of watermelons and strawberries and bananas in a virtual air and watch people just try to slice those things and dice those things. Exactly. You will see some PT students, because we've used it in class in between lecture and lab, and you see some PT students get motivated and get sweaty to beat their high score on this game.
Absolutely.
So that's a great game. That's cool. So what are some other ways that therapists can find games? Because you're looking at a bunch of different conditions. You're going through them. How can they find different games that'll match what their patients are presenting with?
That has been the biggest barrier that I've seen for clinicians to really apply these games into their therapeutic workflow. You know, and I think the Connecting with Clinicians tool that Judy Deutsch is developing is definitely one way to look at it. At Children's Hospital here in Pittsburgh, we've developed an internal Android app that's for our staff. And what they can do is, you know, search for specific functional tasks. So like if they want to do a sit to stand, or if you're looking for lateral weight shifting, or if you're looking for like higher level balance tasks, you can select that and other options, and it'll bring up a list of games that you can then try with your patient to see if those match up with your clinical goals for that patient. From my experience, that's really the biggest barrier, because there's so many commercial games out there, and it's very difficult to go through and play all of them. And so it's hard for clinicians to know what's the best game for their patient? How do you match a specific game for your patient? So we've found tools like that, having an app where you can search for games based on function, can definitely help reduce the barrier to applying these games in the clinic.
But I imagine now that this is being seen as a clinical tool, as a way to get really great results out of your patients, that some more games will be designed specifically for rehabilitation. Is that on the horizon, do you think?
There's definitely lots and lots of companies out there that are, you know, specifically developing for rehab. And I think the real benefit for patients and clinicians is that these games will be customizable to a degree where you can change, you know, the speed of the game. You can change the location of in-game virtual elements. You can change the size of them. You can add distractors.
Wow.
There will be a lot of things that you'll be able to do that I think will more closely mimic what we already do in the clinic, but in virtual environments that are games that are fun to play. So I think that in the coming years, we'll see more and more of those rehab-specific games with those sorts of features coming out into the market.
Excited about that. I mean, I know when I break out the Xbox Kinect in between lab, blow off some steam in PT school.
Absolutely.
And the PT students get excited, but it shouldn't be a shock that also that our patients would get excited, because you're playing games. Who wants to do 15 squats in a row? I mean, not me, but I will stand there and play that river adventure game, and I got to make sure I jump high enough to get over the log, but that's not really doing a squat, but it's doing a plyometric squat jump. It's giving me that motivation.
Absolutely. As we look to the future, you know, the big question is, does it do what we think it does?
Right.
You know, are we getting the outcomes that we think we get? And there's definitely limitations to using virtual reality games in the clinic from a functional standpoint. I think that we'll find areas where that there will be a benefit for this to increase intensity, to increase motivation, to increase repetitions, and hopefully increase functional outcomes. So I think we'll see that research coming out in the near future. I also think that, you know, when you really think about telerehabilitation, how can we as therapists effectively provide telerehab services? You know, it seems like the critical missing piece right now is to have some tool that can analyze patient performance remotely that therapists can observe and control and see that data and change exercise programs to fit where the patient is currently. So I think from a telerehabilitation standpoint, irrespective of the regulatory environment,
right,
I think from a technology perspective, this kind of sensor is really going to be a critical piece, I think, in making telerehabilitation an effective intervention.
I like this because a lot of times you'll hear from companies creating a device or a product that is going to improve upon what it's already there. And whereas I see some of this technology is really just letting an experienced clinician peek in on a patient. So it's not really the technology necessarily that's saying it will replace the PT. It's allowing the PT to go places that the PT probably wouldn't normally be able to go. in the instance with the home unit that you mentioned before, you open it up, you can make sure that your patient is doing their home exercise plan accurately and correctly. The technology isn't necessarily used to replace the PT, it's used to enhance the abilities of that PT.
I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, if you think of like in terms of geography, you know, you can reach into more rural areas, you can reach further, and you can affect patients further out. Another potential benefit is you may be able to reach more patients. You know, with the population of the U.S. aging, you know, how are we going to provide services to all these retiring baby boomers? And I think telerehabilitation, you know, potentially answers the question, you know, if you think of like access, cost, and quality being key features of providing healthcare, I think telerehab can address the cost side of it. It can address the access side of it.
Look, I promise I won't tell your boss, I won't tell anybody else, but you have to have the coolest job in the entire Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. So you work with kids, which I get energized about because they're awesome. You're playing video games with kids, and you're seeing good results. So you've got to have the coolest job. You're the video game guy, the pediatric video game guy. You've got to have the coolest job in the hospital.
I mean, I think so. I mean, I've worked in inpatient rehab for my entire career, and I love that setting. And I love working with the kids. And it's definitely fun to, you know, be on the cutting edge of what's out there and trying to bring these new technologies into the clinic and really get a chance to see how patients respond to these new technologies. So I agree. I absolutely love what I do and wouldn't have it any other way.
So if a student right now is in PT school, wanted to get into something like this, where should they start? What's a good way? I mean, this is so cutting edge. It's so new. There's not many inroads because you're pretty much on the bleeding edge right now.
I think the best place to start is to, you know, really look at, you know, putting in an Xbox 360 or an Xbox One in the clinic with a Kinect camera and, you know, buying a few games, kind of getting familiar with the system, figuring out, you know, which games you can play with which patient populations. I think as time goes on in the pretty near future, there's going to be more and more resources available, I think, to association members. I'd like to see on, you know, on the APTA to start maybe putting out guidelines or assistance for people to, you know, put these systems in the clinics. And I think we'll see that as rehab-specific games are developed. I mean, I think we'll see that as the research starts to hopefully show that there's some benefit to this. But, I think the place to get started is, you know, go out there, even buy an old Xbox 360 with a Kinect camera. You can get those pretty cheap and, you know, buy Kinect Adventures, buy Kinect Sports, you know, play those games yourself. And I think, you know, you'll find that there's some games there that would be appropriate for some of the patients that you treat.
All right. Tough question coming up next right here with Eric Trent Rock. You've got a 13-year-old patient. They challenge you to a video game contest. What is your go-to game that you have a shot to beat that 13-year-old? 13-year-olds are sharp with video games. What's your game?
Well, one of the harder games for Kinect Sports is track and field.
Okay.
And there's actually five different events. So there's like the 100-meter dash. There's the javelin throw. There's the long jump. So that's a really great game to challenge a 13-year-old who is able to stand and run in place and do some jumping. It's one of those games that you gotta have to play a little bit to get good at it.
Good.
And so that's always a fun way for the therapist is to show who's still got it.
Who's still the boss?
That's right.
We've come a long way from the Nintendo Power Pad and playing track and field with this gaming, and I think we're going to see some more things in the next couple of years just really, really continue to explode. In neuro rehab and ortho, I don't think this really has limitations in terms of patient setting, so I think you being on the forefront of this at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh is just going to have more and more implications in terms of how this is going to get out to the rest of the PT world, and I'm excited to hear about it from you now. And I think if I talk to you 6 months from now and a year from now, you'd still have different things to say and different things that are changing. So I am pumped.
I sure hope that's true. And, you know, I think especially in the pediatric world, you know, a lot of these chronic kids who, you know, have a hard time getting, again, it's the access issue. They have a hard time getting access to the clinics. You know, there's some potential here for patients come in for a tune-up. They are, you know, an exercise program is developed for them, maybe based on the Kinect. They take that home.
They work on it at home with their family. And maybe we kind of can help reduce some of the loss of function that sometimes occurs between visits to the clinic.
Cool. We'll do a shot right now. Parting shot. What do DPT students need to know, not necessarily with just neuro rehab, not necessarily with just technology? What's something you wish you knew while you were in PT school that you can impart upon the current generation of PT students?
Well, I guess I would say that one of the biggest things that I've learned being in the healthcare system for a long time is that PTs can be huge advocates for your patients. We spend so much time with our patients. We know them so well, and we have really a unique view of their lives and from a quality of life standpoint, from a functional standpoint. And so I think in a lot of ways we can be very strong advocate for them within a very fragmented medical system. Really keep that in mind and be that strong advocate. Be that person who is really pushing for the best for all your patients.
I like that. Parting words. You can find him on Twitter. Follow for cutting-edge rehab technology tweets. Every time I look, there's something different about this particular area of physical therapy. Find him on Twitter at etrentrock, E-T-R-E-N-T-R-O-C-K. We will make sure to get his Twitter handle on the website at ptpintcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at ptpintcast and check out our new website at ptpintcast.com. Eric Trentrock at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh's Rehab Unit in Neuro Rehab with pediatric patients. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, my man. I like learning about this stuff, and I know PT students across the country are definitely into it and want to know what's going to come happen in the future.
All right. Likewise, Jimmy. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, and keep up the good work.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they? The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.